Hello, hello, and welcome to the Soulfully Strategic Entrepreneurship Podcast. I'm your host, Chrissy Mellinger, a business coach for women who want to make big impact in this world. In this podcast, we will cover the business strategy behind creating aligned, authentic, and empowering service-based businesses. We'll cover the spirituality as well, all the weird, the woo, and the mindset behind showing up as your full self. And of course, we'll discuss female empowerment and embodiment to tap into all of your beautiful magic. We all have so much power, wisdom, and magic to share, but are institutionally taught not to. This podcast is your resource, your opportunity, and your support system to show up fully as the magical creature you are and to love doing it. I'm so excited and honored to be with you today, so let's go ahead and get started. All righty. Hello, hello, everyone. Super pumped to have you here again for the Soulfully Strategic Entrepreneurship Podcast. I am so excited today. We have an amazing human being and guest expert coming to join us. We've got Megan Smythe. So Megan Smythe is the CEO and founder of Megan Smythe Creative. She is a sales copywriter and consultant for female coaches. Megan specializes in research-based copywriting with a splash of personality, sass, and storytelling. After realizing 3 years into her pre-med degree that she was chasing someone else's idea of success, she decided to stop playing by the rules and build her own career, one that allowed her to travel, be creative, and most importantly, required zero knowledge of organic chemistry. Good Lord, girl. I don't even know how you made it through 3 years of pre-med, but you're just incredible. Megan started her business while still in university, using her science degree and experience in evidence-based medicine to write persuasive sales copy. Now she's on a mission to help female coaches disrupt the narrative, grow their revenue, and empower more women to live life on their own terms. Whew, holy crap, man. So today we've got Megan here talking to us about sales copywriting and how to really reframe your sales mindset, have empathy-driven marketing, and how to sell without being sleazy, or as she calls it, ethical conversion copywriting 101. So Megan, I'm so excited for you to be here with us today.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. That was a lovely intro. You did so good.
You are just so incredibly impressive as a human, let alone as a copywriter and a business owner. So I'm excited to see what you have to teach us, what you have to tell us, because I hate to say it, but copywriting is probably one of my least favorite things in business.
I hear that all the time. No worries. We'll see if I can change your mind today.
I'm sure you can, just because I'm on your email list. I follow you on Instagram. We're friends. So I know how weird and amazing you are. But yeah, so what do you have to tell us? I'm going to let you just take it off the bat.
Yeah. So like you said, a lot of people kind of hate copywriting. It gets this bad rep in business, like all types of sales and marketing in general get this bad rep of being overly salesy and sleazy and pushy. But it really doesn't have to be like that at all. So I wanted to come on here to talk about how to reframe your sales mindset and to lead with empathy in your marketing and in your copy.
Oh my gosh, I think you nailed it. It's especially when you're talking to women, it's this idea that sales is gross or sales is just not being of service, which it's absolutely not the case. When you sell your product or your service, like that's how you change the world. That's how you make your business grow. And it's about helping the other person. So I'm excited for all of it. But I'm really excited personally for the reframe, because I think that alone is a game changer for business.
Yeah, 100%. Especially exactly like you said, women especially tend to struggle with that idea of selling. They don't feel comfortable with it. They feel icky and pushy, and we don't want to bother people when we're selling our services or our products. So yeah, hopefully we'll change your mind a lot today.
Awesome. So what do you got for us? How do we reframe that mindset?
Yeah. So starting with the mindset piece is so crucial. So I want you to kind of pause all the assumptions you have about selling and how you feel about it and think of it in a totally new way. The way I like to think of sales is an exchange of enthusiasm.
I love that.
Yeah. It just means like, you know, you're excited to talk about what you're selling and they're excited to hear about it. And as soon as you get that idea through your head, like that's where it really starts to become fun and to become easy. So if you think about, like, we all know what it's like to spend money on something you don't really want to spend money on. Either you feel pressured into it through like fear-based marketing and scarcity, or it's just something you don't want to buy. Like we all know the gas prices right now are insane. You go to the gas station, you're like, I'm going to, you know, cough up another $100, $200 to fill my car with gas. And it just does not feel good at all. But then we also probably have an experience. Hopefully everyone has an experience where they've spent money on something and they felt excited about it. You were excited to spend money. Maybe you went for like a nice dinner with your partner or like a family vacation. You really spoiled yourself and you thought like every cent of that was well spent. I know in my business, when you invest in certain things like a program or a mentor you're really excited about, and they've done such a good job in their marketing and the sales process that you are like, yes, give me the invoice right now. I cannot wait to give you my money. And I think we can all agree that like as customers and as business owners, that's the experience we would rather have.
Right. Like the coach I work with right now, when I was signing up with her, I literally thought to myself, I was like, just take my money. Just here you go. Like, I'm so excited to work with you. And it was wholly different than a lot of other experiences.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about copywriting is that it can bring your audience and your ideal clients to that place of being excited to work with you before you even hop on the sales call. So the end goal is really that by the time they get on a call with you, they're already sold because your copy and your content has done the selling for you. And they're just so excited to talk to you, get to know you as a human one-on-one. And they basically, you know, the ideal scenario for most business owners is when you hop on a discovery call and they're like, I have no questions. I'm ready. Let's do this thing. So that's what powerful copy can help you get. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
The ease that would have, like I personally love discovery calls because I think you get to know a lot about a person from their energy and how they talk and things like that. Mm-hmm. But not having to deal with those limiting beliefs or those things holding you back and having that kind of already handled mostly, right, to a degree through your copy, like just holy hell, that would take so much stress out of it and save me as the business owner so much time.
Yeah, exactly. Your copy, if it's working the way it should ideally be your best salesperson. So it takes a little bit of that pressure off, you know, that you have to be selling constantly or like pushing for the sale, because hopefully your copy is going to do that for you in a way that feels good to you and to your audience.
All righty. Keep on going, man. Give us all the deets.
All right. So the first thing to think about after you've reframed that belief is really diving into understanding your ideal client. If you want to lead with empathy in your marketing, it really all comes down to being a good listener, learning how to listen to your people, how to understand them. And yes, I am talking about market research here, which is another thing that people tend to absolutely hate in their business. They're like, I do not want to bother people. I'm not sending a survey. I don't want to ask them to hop on a call. So let me just like nip that in the bud here and say, you do not need to do those things if you don't want to. You don't even have to think about it as research if you feel like kind of either really bored out of your mind or like icky about that. It's really just a conversation. You're just getting to know these people in whatever way you feel comfortable. And that's like a casual, easy way for them too. So yeah, just talk to them, talk to your people.
I'm thinking back to when I was going through my coach certification training and they told us, you know, you have to do the surveys, you have to get people on a call and have them answer things. And like, we had to create this big Google form that got like signed off on. I love talking to people, right? Like hence a podcast, but having to like put a form together and send that out and beg people for responses, it never felt right. So I wish that I had this conversation 2 years ago. And just know that it's engaging. It's interacting with other people and just having a genuine conversation with them.
Exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the engagement term, because when you think about it, like most of us are already having those conversations. Like you're already, hopefully in some manner or another, talking to your ideal clients, whether it's like in the DMs on social media, or maybe you've had a few discovery calls. There are so many like tidbits that you can pull out of those conversations. The problem is we're just not aware of it at the time. So you don't really think about it, and you're not, you know, keeping note of certain things because you don't know what you're looking for.
I'm taking notes as we do this for the show notes and also for like my own one-on-one private training session. But I love how you even continue with the reframe of it's not market research. It's really just getting to know your person and listening to them. You should not be talking more than your ideal client is.
No, yeah, it's all about listening. And that's really been a huge shift in the marketing, the sales world in general, not just in the entrepreneurship space, but with larger companies. They're starting to realize that those outdated pushy sales tactics aren't working anymore. Like that type of marketing does not connect with people. We're so inundated with advertising 24/7, like from every angle, all this noise all the time, that people do not want to be sold to. They do not want a hard sale. They want a connection-based marketing strategy. They want to feel seen and heard and understood. And the way to do that is really through research or through getting to know your ideal client.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. So step one is listen and really know your ideal client. What's the next step?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say that's the whole strategy, but we can go a little deeper on that and get tactical. That is really where it all starts. So I'm happy to dive in like to specific strategies there, but really once you've done the research, then it's just a matter of communicating all this great information you've learned and using that in your copy and learning how to speak to your clients with empathy.
Okay. So you keep saying this with empathy. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So when you're writing any type of copy for your business, no matter where you're targeting, like on the sales funnel or what type of content it is, you really want to think about meeting your ideal client where they are and trying to like put yourself in their shoes, understand their situation. So a lot of times it's tempting as the business owner, the person doing the selling, to just right out of the gate, tell people what they need, right? Because we know how wonderful our offer is. And I'm sure it is.
You know? It's so tempting.
Yeah, our businesses are our babies. And you probably spent hours and hours creating this perfect offer. And you know why it's perfect for your ideal client. But they don't know that yet. So before you get their buy-in to start talking about your offer, you need to speak to where they are now, what they're struggling with, what their frustrations are, and you need to make them feel understood before you get into talking about yourself and your business and your offer.
Okay. So for the super excited coach who's like, this is my very first offer, I think I know what my ideal client, where they're at and all of this. We do all the work and again, more coach certification programs, but how can we pull from the engagement/market research? Like, how do we use that to actually speak to where they're at right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something I see a lot of people struggle with. They say, well, I know my client is like stressed out. I know they're overwhelmed, they're frustrated in their business with this, this, and this. And it's like, okay, well, let's go a bit deeper on that. First of all, you don't actually know anything until you get out there and talk to them. Because if you haven't done your research, you're just guessing. Like, and you might think you know them, but you don't until you talk to them. So that's step one. But while you're talking to them, you want to go deeper than just like, how are you feeling lately? You know, we all know that like, you know, whatever you're trying to help them with, it's clear they have a struggle if you're talking to them in like a client type scenario. But the question I like to always think about is, how does that problem or pain point that your offer is going to solve, how does that manifest in their life?
Like,
how does that show up in like the day-to-day? Like, what does their life look like right now when they wake up in the morning? Like, what are their like struggles and frustrations? And that's why that genuine connection piece comes in, because you're not going to ask someone like when you first meet them, you know, tell me about everything you're struggling with in your life. That doesn't lead to a real conversation, but you might be talking to someone and they say something like, oh, you know, like the day I had, like I was trying to pick up my kids and I was late for this. So then the dog had to go to the vet and like all these like overwhelming struggles. Like that paints the picture of what their life is like and how maybe a problem in their business is starting to show up in other areas of their life as well.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever said the words in my head or out loud of my website landing page copy is not converting, but I've definitely had the thought of like, well, shit, I feel like more people should be contacting me through that page, right? Like through my contact me page, what's not working? So I feel like that if, you know, as a service provider to me, understanding that worry and like how I phrase things would be so different in starting a conversation versus like, hey, do you need new copy? I'm like, I don't
exactly.
Yeah, like I need no one. Work.
Yeah, no one wants to buy. Yeah, you're not selling the problem. You're solving the end solution, right? That's what you're selling. Mm-hmm. So if I was trying to sell you copy for your landing page, I wouldn't say, hey, do you need new landing page copy? I would say, how is your landing page converting now? You know, are you having enough leads come in? Like how many inquiries are you having? Like, you know, maybe I wouldn't be that forward on like a first date scenario, but now that we've known each other for a while, I might ask, how's your landing page doing, Chrissy?
Absolutely. But the first time is going to be more of like, are you booked out? Do you need more clients? How is the funnel going?
Yeah, all that good stuff. Yeah. And once you know their pain points and their problems, you can start to think about how that shows up even outside of their business or in other areas of their business. So for example, if they're working like really, really long hours because they're trying to make this work, trying to book more clients, they're spending all their hours on like outreach and lead gen instead of, you know, with their family and things, that starts to show up in other ways. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not getting enough sleep. They're missing out on quality time with their loved ones. So you want to know those things. And again, you don't want to, because we're leading with empathy here. It's not to like press on those pain points or anything. You don't want to like agitate their pain too much. You just want to understand where they're coming from and what their situation is like now and how you can help them move forward.
Okay. So one of the things that this connects, I promise. One of the things that is trending in the coaching sphere right now is leaning further away from pain points and talking more about the transformation. But I agree with what it sounds like you're saying. We really need to be clear about their pain points to be able to talk to where they're at right now. So do we also use our copy to talk about the transformations that are available, or do we stick with the pain points and just have the conversations offline?
Absolutely. You want to be talking about the transformation, but I would like to put it out there that I don't necessarily agree with that. I am against like pain-based, fear-based marketing. Like I said, that's not what we're going for here, but those pain points and those problems are really like the key to making your people feel like you see them and you understand them. You know where they're coming from. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe that was you earlier in your business. So you don't want to forget about the pain points entirely. You definitely don't want to poke at people's pain at all. That's not what we're going for. And if you're doing that in your marketing, cut that shit out. Like it's 2022, people, but yeah, but it's still, it is important to know and to speak to their pain points, like with kindness. You want them to feel like this person gets me. This is like a safe space that she understands what I'm struggling with. And then you can lead into your offer and the transformation.
And I love how you said that of, well, one, yeah, it's 2022. Like, just, can we not at this point just stop? But also it's that feeling seen. We all as human beings fundamentally want to be seen and heard and recognized. So yeah, like we need to know the transformation that's available. But before that, I need to know that I'm safe with you. Like I need to feel that you know who I am on some level, right? And I think I really liked how you said that and explained it.
Exactly. Yeah. I always like to say conversion starts with connection. So you really have to start with that. You have to start with that foundational piece before you get into the selling and conversion. Because like you said, you want people, like we talked about in the beginning, the idea of sales exchanging and enthusiasm, you want people to be excited to buy from you. And you want them to be doing it from a place of this feels good to them. So yeah, you start with empathy.
There are so many, like I said, so many notes and just different things. And it really does go back to, especially for coaches who you work with, It's about that connection. It's about that relationship. It's about maybe we're not the right fit for you, right? But like still having the dialogue, and your copy is just one more piece that helps your people find you more easily.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to go back to something you said there about people who aren't the right fit. I think that's kind of an underestimated part of copywriting and marketing in general, is that copy really has two jobs. And one is to attract the right fit people. You want to attract those people who are excited to work with you. They feel really good about it. They're like, this is who I want to work with. You are the one for them. But you also want to repel the people who are not a good fit for your offer. And that may sound kind of counterintuitive, because of course we all want more clients and more sales. But in the long run, you do not want clients who felt either pressured into working with you, or, you know, so-so about it, and then they don't feel good about that decision. Like, that's not going to serve your business in the long run. That's how you end up with nightmare clients, or people asking for refunds, or, you know, they're not happy, or in their testimonials. You don't want those people in your programs or working with you. So those are the two jobs you kind of want to balance.
I love that you said repel, because it really feels like a magnet, that we're attracting the right people for us that we can help and that also fit with us as well. But we are 100% repelling the people who are not going to be great fits. And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us or there's anything wrong with them. We're just not the best fit. And it's much harder to have that conversation, especially for newer coaches, face to face on a discovery call, of like, they want to sign with you and you're sitting there grimacing and you're like, well, shit, I can't help you. Like, let your non-face-to-face copy handle that for you, instead of you having to then do it on a call with them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's much less scary to do it on a page, and hopefully your copy's filtering out those people. And so you only end up on a call with like your dream clients. But yeah, I would say to new coaches, I know it's scary in the beginning. Like, there's the whole scarcity thing around sales. Like, you don't want to turn away money. And that it's obviously a privilege to even have that option. But I would just say to think about, the more you repel the wrong people, ironically, the more you are attracting the right people. I see a lot of people on sales pages or on their website, they have a little section like, this is for you if, or like, this offer is a good fit for you if X, Y, and Z. But a lot of people skip the section that's like, this is not for you. If you are these things, or you're this type of business owner. But that's equally important, because you don't want to work with those people. And by singling out, you know, who it's for and who it's not for, the people that are a good fit are going to feel even more like, okay, yeah, like, she works with people just like me and not with just anyone.
That was a very loving call out that I do not have a not for you on my page, while I do have a this is for you.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. It's okay. We'll get on that.
But I completely agree with you, because it's also, we are role models for our clients and how we show up. So if we're showing up with that integrity of saying, yes, I'm here for this, but more importantly, no, I'm not available for this, it absolutely gives us this stronger leader role, this feel of being an expert and really owning what is ours. But it also gives more credibility, honestly, at the end of the day.
Absolutely. It definitely gives you more authority, and it positions you as more of an expert, that you know exactly who you work with and who you serve and who you don't. And that's where values-based marketing, I think, is kind of where you were going with that. That's where that plays a big role. Like, I know for me, when I see someone advertising on their website, say, you know, here's what we're all about and here's what we're not about. You know, we're not going to support these things. Please do not work with us. Like, unfollow now if you do not believe in, you know, gender equality, race equality, if you do not believe in supporting the LGBTQ community, things like that. When I see that on someone's website, my respect for them just goes through the roof. And I also feel like, okay, like, this is the type of person I want to work with. I respect them a bit more. And I can see where they're coming from through their values.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I feel like I've gotten better at over the last 2 years, I hope I've gotten better at anyway, is showing more of my own personality through the copy. So even with, you know, really speaking with empathy and leading with empathy, it's also a matter of showing your personality through it and not having the same freaking landing page or the same cute AF or da da da, like just say fuck. Like if you curse a lot, just say fuck, right? You just had a gorgeous Instagram post about showing up as yourself. And I hope I'm not like totally leading us out of the topic and we'll get back to the selling with ease and thing, but how do you incorporate your personality with the market research, with the empathy, with all of that?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, and that's such a good question. And I want everyone to know that, you know, I'm not immune to that either. It's hard to show up as your true self online. There's a lot of pressure. And bringing personality into your copy isn't always easy. A lot of people are scared to, you know, push people away, but it is that attract and repel thing we talked about. And there's a balance. So when it comes to your copy, when I'm writing someone's copy, my job is to really find the overlap between their voice, what they want to say, their big vision and the values that they have. And where does that overlap with their ideal client? So I think of it as like a Venn diagram, you know, what shared values do they have? What are their ideal clients looking for that this person can provide? And you don't necessarily, when it comes to things like personality, you want to find, you know, clients who feel like you could, you know, grab a glass of wine with and who you'd be friends with in real life. Like that's great, but you don't necessarily have to have a similar personality. As long as you show your real personality, they'll know whether or not, you know, there's someone that they would get along with you. So even if, you know, if they're not the type to swear, but they might think it's, you know, it's fun that that's part of your marketing and part of your voice.
And that was definitely, not to go too much off topic, but like, that was definitely one of my things at first was I cuss like a sailor, like my whole family does, like that's how we were raised. Right. And I didn't show any of that, which also automatically meant that my sass and my attitude and sarcasm did not come through. So when people did jump on the calls with me, and I'm, you know, loud and I gesture a lot and I'm a lot of personality compared to what they were reading or what they were seeing on my social media accounts, there was such a dissonance that it 100% turned people away because they were like, this girl doesn't know who she is and she doesn't act authentically. So I think there's so much power in really making sure that you're showing up and your copy across the board sounds like you.
Yeah, exactly. That type of mismatch is really common because a lot of people, especially when you're first starting your business, there's this pressure to kind of show up like everyone else and kind of be this like watered down version of ourselves. And then people get on a call with you and there's that dissonance. Like you said, they're like, this isn't who I thought it was going to be. And yeah, neither one is necessarily right or wrong. Like you don't have to try and be big and loud if you're not, but like, Chrissy, your personality is so amazing and so much fun. Like you want that to shine through your copy. Like, so, and I mean, it's hard. A lot of people have a problem sounding like themselves when they write. So that's the job of a copywriter, is to bring that to life and to see like all the wonderful things that make you Chrissy. Like, how can we bring in those little bits and pieces to infuse that throughout your copy?
I'm like so excited for transparency's sake. Meg and I have not worked together professionally. We chatted on Instagram and have become friends, had like a 3-hour gab session last week. It was amazing. But we will be working together very soon, I'm excited to say. So yeah, none of this is like we're nice to each other for the sake of the podcast. We genuinely like each other as human beings.
I swear we're really friends. No, it's it's a hypothetical for now, but I am very excited and I love working with people. Like I love bringing their personality to life on the page because I know how hard that is. Like no one likes writing their own copy. And it can be difficult, but it's so much fun. You know, to bring all those pieces together and like, yeah. And so hopefully you get those dream clients the next time you show up on a call.
So I feel like I want to keep us on track because you and I will just go down all the rabbit holes, but I feel like we've covered the empathy driven. I feel like we've covered the reframing of the sales mindset. So how do we get into sales being easy and not being gross?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one piece of it is the reframe. That's where you start. In terms of sales becoming easy, That's it's part mindset and it's part strategic systems. There's a balance between the two. Your sales don't have to be hard. Like I said, if your copy is working for you, copy is like your 24/7 salesperson. So if your website is properly optimized, or you've got an email funnel up and running, or a sales page to sell your offer, just having those pieces in place, I think, takes a lot of the pressure off. And that way, like, your only job is to talk to people and have those conversations, because at that point they just want to talk to you one-on-one, maybe ask a couple questions, either in the DMs or on a call. So really setting up your funnels strategically so that you're playing whatever part in the sales process feels good to you. So if you like hopping on calls with people and you know that's where you shine and that you can really sell them and win them on the call, that's great. You want to optimize like your funnel and your website and everything. Everything should be leading to get them on a call with you. That's the primary objective. And if you're like, I never want to talk to anyone on a call, I'm a super introvert, then you want to be setting up your sales process so that you can sell people like either in the DMs or just like through email marketing and your sales page, which is 100% possible.
I love that. And I'm going to throw my two cents in there of if you're a coach and you don't want to talk to people, there is some mindset work of your own. Please go after it. Don't hold yourself back. But yes, as Meg said, like sell in the emails, sell in the DMs, all of that, but make it a choice. Don't have it be like, I'm too afraid to talk to people. They're going to think I'm weird. Like,
absolutely.
Own your magic.
Yes, I love that. 100% own your magic. Know that like what you're offering people is it's something they need and they want. And if they're not interested in it, like, that's okay. The worst case scenario is that they say no, and like you've learned something from the experience. And think of it this way. I always like to tell my clients that they can learn from people that say no from their offers. That tells you, you know, they're not a good fit, or maybe something was off with the messaging. You can just go back, put your research hat back on and do a little detective work. And you can just kind of maybe separate the emotion from it and analyze, you know, where things went wrong, how you're going to change it for next time. Or maybe nothing went wrong and they were just the wrong person, which is fine too.
I love how you said put your research hat back on, because what we're talking about with copy and all of that really falls into having a marketing strategy, is having a visibility, engagement, all of that. And at the end of the day, a strategy, and what makes it different than throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks, is that you are evaluating it and that you're going back and you're changing it and you're trying things, and it's taking on this air of this is an experiment and it's going to go how it's going to go, and not making it mean a single thing about you as a coach or a human being.
Yeah, exactly. I think that experiment mindset is so key in every part of your business. Everything we do is an experiment. Like I like to say, I write evidence-based or research-based copy. And what that means is I'm giving your copy the best possible starting point by basing it in, you know, customer research and by digging into your business and your history. And hopefully we put something out there that people are going to connect with on the first try and they love and they convert from that. But there's always room to tweak things. And I think people don't realize part of the copywriting process is testing things and optimizing them over time. So you're not necessarily putting out, you know, an email funnel the first time ever, and then you leave it there for years and years and never think about it again. Or maybe you don't, but hopefully your copywriter is thinking about it again, because I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so, you know, if I have an email rate that's like, or an open rate on an email that's like 90%, which would be crazy high, I'd be like, how can I get to 95? You know, there's always that little, there's always room, to compete with yourself, right? Not with other people, but compete with yourself.
Absolutely. I agree with, and I laughed because I can literally see you sitting there and being like, okay, but to get to 91%, I would only need 6 more people to open it. So like, how do I get 6 more? Like, I can just see your brain working that way.
Oh gosh, 100%. I was that like really annoying kid in school who would get like a 98 on a paper, and I'd be like, well, what happened to the other 2%? Like, I'd go to my TA and be like, how can I improve this for next time? And they're like, we don't give 100%. I'm like, well, that's a bullshit rule. Give me a real reason. Anyway, side tangent there. Always look for ways to improve.
Okay, so that leads to a next question of how often/how do we know it's time to go back and evaluate or adjust our copy?
That's a good question. It depends on a lot of different things and what type of copy you're thinking about. So for sales copy, which is what I primarily write, I would say every time you're launching something, like if you have a program and you're launching the same thing multiple times, then you better make sure you're doing a proper like launch debrief after, and that you're, you know, incorporating what you learned for the next time, tweaking as needed. Or you might have to go, sometimes you have to go back to the drawing board entirely and launch something totally new. Same thing if you're running an evergreen type of funnel and you're just selling the same thing all the time. I would say look at on a regular basis, like, you know, every few months at a minimum. In terms of things like website copy or your welcome series, which is again kind of more evergreen, you want to look at that, I would say every 6 months at a minimum, and to, you know, see how it's doing, see if it still aligns with you and your messaging. You know, our businesses change and evolve over time, sometimes really quickly. Like sometimes you know, I'm thinking, I want to target a new audience. I want to lean into a new space or become known for this new thing. Then it's time to go back and look at all of your copy, all of your assets, like an email funnel, or your website. So does that really align with, you know, what I'm trying to attract now?
So I will proudly say that I definitely remembered when I launched the podcast to go and update my email sequence to like say, hey, you can also find me here. I did not think of that very quickly. It probably took like the entire launch of the podcast to think, oh shit, and I need to do this too. But I love how you said it, we're looking at the conversion metrics. We're seeing when it opens, like when people are clicking, things like that. But it's also making sure that that copy is still resonant with who we are and who we help.
Exactly. Yeah. You want it to really reflect who you are and what you stand for. And it might seem like that's kind of a static thing, but believe it or not, like a lot of business owners pivot pretty hard in their business and who they want to serve and what they're all about. So yeah, it's important to revisit that pretty regularly and see, does this still really ring true? Another thing I find is, like we talked about earlier, people tend to be a little wary of showing too much of their personality when they first get started in business. Maybe you DIY'd some of your website or email copy, things like that. And you look at it now and you're like, my God, that doesn't even sound like me. Like there's no, you know, there's just no personality to it. But now, you know, you feel more comfortable with your audience. So you might want to go back and revisit anything like that.
It's like a good sign for everybody. Think for a second, like pause the episode and think, when's the last time you actually went and checked out your email sequences and all of them, like your welcome and everything else that you've had built out for who knows how long, like go take a look at that shit today.
Yeah. Try to look at it from an outside perspective and be like, is this what I want to be conveying to people? Is that still aligned with where I am today? Or is this from 6 months ago? That could be a totally different, your business could have changed completely in 6 months. So,
okay. So changing slight directions for a coach, let's say who's starting out or like finally has their feet kind of under them. When we talk about the world of copy, you already mentioned it, but there's what landing page copy, there's launch copy, there's email sequences. Like what would be, in your opinion, if you like can give us one thing, what would be the very first thing to really make sure that your copy is locked down?
I love that question for so many reasons. And I have a lot of thoughts on it. I get people in my DMs all the time saying like, I'm in that growing phase. I'm so excited. I'm ready to invest in copy. And I need an email funnel, a sales page, and a website. And I need all the things. So which one do I do first? And of course, it depends on your business and what you're prioritizing. A lot of people, a lot of coaches who start out on social media think they don't need a website and an email list. And those are probably the two like key assets to your business long-term. Like I cannot overstate that. If you want to make money in your business, you need to start your email list way sooner than you think you do. And so with that comes a welcome series or a freebie funnel from your lead magnet to whatever paid offers you have going on. And yes, you should be selling something in your welcome series. So yes, I have strong opinions about that. We can get into that too. But so I would say either your website or that freebie funnel. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people on social media aren't huge believers in the, you need a website. So if you had to pick one, I'd say an email funnel. from your freebie to your paid offer, get that up and running as soon as you can and make sure it's like fully optimized, because that's basically like passive income once you get it up and running. And if not, you're still growing your email list. If someone doesn't buy from you, you're still bringing people into your community. And remember, you don't own your social media followers. They are not yours. Your email list and your website are 100% yours. So if you're going to invest in anything, that's the place to start.
And I really just want to like underline that as much as possible of there's this, I don't even know if it's like a new trend or what, but every couple of months I'll see people saying like, you don't need to have a website. You can just sell through the storefront of your Instagram page or da da da. You can, absolutely. You can technically do that. But as you said, it's the long-term growth. Instagram, I mean, fuck, man. Instagram is not the easiest platform to always be focused on. And you don't own any of that. Like if you get shut down, you get shut down. You have no access to that. Whereas your email list is yours and your website is yours. So like really just let's reiterate Meg's point here for a second. Do what you need to do to get an email list and to get some kind of website, whether it is like the cheapest Wix page or WordSpace, something that says what you do, who you help, and how people can pay you.
Yeah, 100% does not need to be fancy. It can be one page with your picture on it and your offers and, you know, here's how to work with me. But I personally, like I would never, and I'm sorry if this offends anyone, but when I'm on someone's Instagram page and I click the link in bio and they have no real website, it's like a link tree. First of all, if you're just starting out, okay, you know, that's one thing. But if they're trying to communicate that they're a serious business owner, they've been doing this for a while, they're a professional, and they don't have a website, like that's a red flag to me and to a lot of people. I've heard that from other people as well. And when it comes to your email funnel, you know, like you said, Chrissy, Instagram is like, yeah, so many people these days, you complain about the algorithm changes, how Instagram has changed, and it's so hard to keep up with, and it's so exhausting. Like my clients tell me, it's so exhausting showing up on stories every day and selling and content creation and all these things. And I'm like, how is your email list doing? Have you emailed them lately? Because, you know, we set up this freebie funnel for them, and it takes 5 minutes to repurpose an Instagram post into an email, but it's not that same level of energy of showing up live all the time and being on 24/7 and keeping up with the changes that are happening. So yeah, just think about it, you know, don't underestimate the email list.
Going to try and hold myself in. One more question for you. So as speaking from my own personal experience, as well as a lot of clients that I've worked with and a lot of just colleagues that I've worked with, we don't necessarily start out with a lot of money. So we do, as coaches, tend to DIY things ourselves. Obviously, I want everybody to go work with Megan. She's amazing. Like, we're going to share how to connect with her in a few minutes here. But if we can't, like if the coach really can't have a professional copywriter, what is one tip out of this past hour of tips that you've given us? What is one tip that you would really want them to take away and just like hold in their brain?
Okay. So first of all, I want to say there is no shame in the DIY game. I think when you're starting your business, that's the way to go. Some people will be like, you know, you should invest in your website, your copy right away. If someone got on a call with me and said, I started my business 2 months ago, I'm not super clear on this, this, and this. Like I would tell that person, you know what? I would love to help you DIY this however you can. So let's talk about that. First of all, yeah, the DIY it's a real option and it's what I recommend. So I just want to say, you know, take your time before investing in a copywriter, make sure you're 110% clear on what you do and who you serve and your messaging and all that stuff. So if you're looking to DIY, the number one piece of advice I would say when you're writing copy for your business, this applies to all copy, your website, social media captions, emails, all of it. Keep in mind that it's not about you. I'm sorry, not sorry to tell you, it's not about you. It is never about you. It's always, always, always about them. So that's where the market research piece comes in. Yes, I'm getting on my soapbox here. But even if you haven't done the research yet, just think for a second. What do they need? Why should they care? Why should they listen to you? What's in it for them? Because I hate to say it, but we're all selfish creatures. Like, that's been scientifically proven that we're all kind of narcissists. We're stuck in our own world, thinking about our own problems, our own wants and desires. So if you just get on, you know, Instagram or your website and you start talking about, you know, I do this and I did that and here's my qualifications and here's my, you know, childhood story and like all those things, people don't care. It sounds harsh, but you have to build that genuine connection before you can start to weave in those little bits of like you and your story. A place I see this a lot is people's about pages on their websites, because of course it's your about page. You think it's about you. That's totally understandable. But even there, it's really not. You have to speak to them and where they are before you ever bring in your own, you know, product or story or whatever it is you're trying to communicate.
I fucking love that answer.
Some tough love for you all today. It's not about you. It never is.
And I think that's one of the things that when I'm not even going to say that it's new coaches, because I think it's as human beings, but when we start to get like frustrated or stressed, or we're not making the money we want to make, or all these doubts are coming up for us, we start to go into the, I need this. I have to have this. If I can show them that I'm smart enough or that I'm good enough or that I'm experienced enough, nobody gives a fuck. Like really, I have 3 degrees. I have multiple certifications. Yes, I have it listed on my website because from a business perspective, some people do want to know like what my background is. I've literally never had one person ask me what's my degree in, because they want to know how I help them. How can I support them? And it's that like keeping in mind that we are here to be of service.
Yep. 100%. I love everything you just said. And it's so true. And that mindset of selling from a place of service, like when we're talking about, you know, reframing your sales mindset, the mindset that'll, this will take you so, so far in business, in every aspect of your business. If you approach it with, how can I be of service? How can I help this person? Even if that has nothing to do with your paid offers, like do not go into it expecting a sale, and just go out there looking for genuine connection. How can I help this person? Maybe you can refer them to someone that would be helpful in their business. You can offer them a free resource, not your own freebie, but you say, hey, I know this great, you know, blog or YouTube channel that has some more information on that. You send them like a book you think they would love, like just genuinely try to help people. And ironically, that's what makes people trust you enough to buy from you eventually. Not that you should go into it looking for a sale, but it's kind of counterintuitive that that's what builds relationships and that's the foundation of selling. So,
yeah, I think it goes back to what you were saying throughout this of it's that empathy driven. It's that, yeah, we're in business to make a lot of money, right? End of the day, like that's one of the goals that most of us have. We want to make an impact and we want to make money. But when we can show up from a space of empathy, a space of integrity, and be like, I may not be the right fit. I may not be the best resource, but I know of someone really cool or something really nice that can help you. You're continuing to build your own reputation. So it is self-serving at the end of the day as well, but it's
being optimistic. It can be both. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it can be both. I like to start off all my sales calls by saying, you know, the goal of this call and this relationship is for me to be a resource to you. So if we reach the end of our, you know, 15 minutes together and this isn't a great fit, like I will try my hardest to, you know, refer you to someone else, to another resource, another service provider who can help you. And that just, yeah, it doesn't have to end in you working together. Like if it's not a good fit, don't force it. But just go into it with the goal of helping that person. And yeah, when we talk about how selling is hard, again, like ironically, that takes the pressure off of it. You're not going into a conversation saying, I have to sell this person or I have to write this email that's going to sell a product. You're just going in to it with a casual, easy mindset of, hey, if this thing appeals to you, if it would be helpful, you know, here's the link to check it out. And if not, no worries. Like when you can approach your sales and your copy like that, it changes the whole game and it feels so much better, so much easier.
And I can speak from personal experience on that one of my very first launch of a group program. I mean, I like just shake my head going back and looking at it because it was all like, I can do this, or we're going to do this, or I can da da da. And it felt, the whole thing was awful. The whole launch process, the whole thing was awful. And of course it flopped. Of course, not a single person even like booked a call with me. Whereas now I can genuinely say, if they don't, they don't, right? But I'm going to put it out there. And I loved how you said that of detaching yourself from the outcome and just, hey, here's a resource. If it helps you, cool. If it doesn't, okay, cool. Have a great rest of your day.
Exactly. Detach from the outcome. That's exactly what we all need to do.
And then real quick, I loved what you said too about there's no shame in DIY. Like going back to that for a second, because I think you've talked so much about how great copy will change the game and change your all of that. And yes, obviously there are, you have a skill set that many of us do not have. But also like owning the fact and meeting yourself where you're at as well, that if you need to DIY it, that's cool. And if you're brand new, let me get this real fucking clear for y'all. If you are new, do not fucking invest until you know your messaging. Or not even if you're brand new, if you are transitioning or pivoting or changing your niche or doing something that you are not damn well sure of who you're speaking to, don't pay somebody else until you figure it the fuck out.
Yes. Yeah. Preach, Chrissy. Something I see all the time is because I like to keep a close relationship with my designer friends. Copy and design have got to work together. And I hear all the time when people start a business, you know, the first thing they want to do is spend all their money on a beautiful logo and a beautiful website and all these, you know, brand assets and the design. And so it all looks beautiful. And they are like, we have to keep turning these people away because they haven't done the work to get clear on their message. And they just want to invest without, you know, they've never worked with a copywriter before. They haven't done the work on their own to get to know their audience. And they're just kind of like, what if we throw some logos at it and that'll solve all the issues. So take your time. There's no rush. Of course, once you get to a certain level, like, you know, copywriting is a strong investment in your business. But in those early days, like, yeah, no shame in the DIY. You have my full endorsement. If you're a newer coach, just to DIY your copy. Yeah, use whatever resources you can get your hands on. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about.
I love it. Oh my goodness. And like I said, we're going to very quickly here go into like how people can connect with you, but I'm going to plug you for a second. Megan's email list, one, is fucking hilarious. Like you see pictures of her dog and really fantastic shoes and like all this very cool human being stuff, but it also has kick-ass tips for copy that as someone new or someone who's not in a place right now to invest, like that alone is one of those resources. Connect with people, find them, go follow Megan on every account you can possibly follow her on. But really to also reiterate your point of find a way to improve yourself. Going back to your email example of 90% rate, like it's always a game of how can you learn? How can you grow? How can you get a little bit better than you were yesterday?
Absolutely. Never stop growing. That was so sweet. I swear everyone listening to this, I did not pay Chrissy to say those nice things about my email list. I had no idea, but I'm glad that you enjoy my dog and my shoe pictures along with my copywriting tips.
All right. So we have covered reframing your mindset. We've covered empathy-driven copy, so much other stuff, how to sell without feeling icky or sleazy about it. Before we close out, is there anything that you can think of? I'm sure there is, but is there anything that you can think of that you want to share with us that we haven't already covered or you want to reiterate for us?
Yeah, I would say to reiterate and to kind of counteract my tough love about it not being about you all the time, I do want to say that you are the strongest asset in your business. So going back to what we talked about being afraid to show up as the real you, we all struggle with that, but that is the greatest asset you'll have in your copy and in your business in general. So I just want to end on that note that don't be afraid to, you know, do something different and stand out. As a copywriter, there's nothing I love more than reading someone's website or copy. And I think like, this is really them. It does not sound like everyone else. And it's so true to who they are. I just love that. So go forth and share your gifts with the world.
Go forth and prosper.
Yes, exactly. That's my final advice.
Oh my goodness. Megan Smythe, everyone. And just an excellent, excellent copywriter. Awesome guest expert with us today. I know you've got two things to share with us. So if you want to tell us about the really cool freebie that you've got and then the offer that you've got.
Yeah, for sure. So if you couldn't tell throughout this interview, I'm pretty passionate about doing the research so that you're getting to know your ideal customer. But I also believe that research can be fun. And so if you want more tips on how to do that and how to find a fun way to do it for you and your clients, I've got a free cheat sheet to market research, which you can find on my website, megansmythe.com. It's M-E-G-A-N-S-M-Y-T-H. .com, where you can also sign up for my newsletter with some more fun tips and some dog pics, as Chrissy said. And yeah, and if you're at a stage in your business where you are ready to invest in pro copywriting and you're ready to go all in, see what that can do for you, you can work with me through my signature package. It's called the Copy Party because it's a lot of fun and it's a VIP week. It's 5 days total. Chrissy's laughing. Yes.
I love it.
Everything about this is designed to be as low stress and as much fun and as much profit as possible for you. So we can whip up an email funnel or sales page. Your imagination is really the only limit for what we can accomplish in 5 days. You might be surprised. So yeah.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. So I will have all of Megan's links. You can find her at her website. She already said you can find her on Instagram at Copy by Meg. Go follow, subscribe, download the market research sheet. It's fucking amazing. Book her copy party if that's where you're at right now, but really just like have this woman in your world. Like you want her in your world. I'll have all of her links in the show notes below to everything that we've talked about here. Meg, I just love you. I'm so glad that you were with us today. I think this was such an epic session and yeah, just really appreciate you being here with us.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on, Chrissy. It was so much fun as always.
Thank you so much for joining me today on this week's episode of the Soulfully Strategic Entrepreneurship Podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure. If you are ready to take your business to the next level, I invite you to apply to join the 3-month MiniMind experience. Visible, a 3-month experience where you will gain confidence, find your authentic voice, and learn to sell with ease. Believe me, it can be done. Starts in August 2022. This is for the change makers who are ready to step into their power and really see their business and their lives change. You can find the link in the show notes or go to my website at chrissymellinger.com. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I wish you the absolute best in your business and your life.